My guest at this time is Andrew McCarthy. Andy was one of the lead prosecutors of those who attacked the World Trade Center in 1993. He's affiliated with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and you can catch a lot of his writings on National Review Online. One of the things he's written recently that's gotten a lot of attention is in response to the controversy up on Capitol Hill and beyond about a handful of House Republicans who have called into question the Obama administration's increased coziness with the Muslim Brotherhood, particularly in Egypt, but elsewhere also, and also how perhaps the administration has become so cozy with the Muslim Brotherhood after the reputation that group has been held in this country over the past several decades. And Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, my pleasure. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. And obviously, most folks, if they follow the world stage, know that the Muslim Brotherhood is in a position of prominence in Egypt. There's currently a power struggle with the military and so forth, but they're certainly in a good place electorally and politically for themselves. Many people in the United States were very concerned about radical Islam being the strongest influence in Egypt over the last year or so since the uprising in Egypt. The administration seems to be more and more receptive to the idea of the Muslim Brotherhood being in charge. In fact, the president congratulating the winner of the presidential election there not too long ago. So now Michelle Bachmann and a handful of other House Republicans, Louis Gohmert, Trent Franks, and so forth, wanted to know why this is the case and whether certain people, including the wife of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who's a top aide to Hillary Clinton, are responsible for this. Let's break it down step by step. How big of a shift have we seen in the attitude of this administration towards the Muslim Brotherhood in the last year and a half or so?
Well, we've seen a very big shift, although I want to qualify that by saying that the Bush administration, I think, particularly in the second term, had become overly friendly and sympathetic to Islamist movements in terms of trying to push through it or push ahead with what I've always regarded as its well-intentioned but not very well-conceived Islamic democracy project. So I think what Obama has done, as he's done in many different instances, is capitalize or metastasize a mistake that that Bush made. But I think Obama and a lot of people in his administration, including Secretary Clinton, had pretty pro-Islamist leanings in the first place. You know, it was during the Clinton administration, of course, that they turned Yasser Arafat into a statesman, or at least they tried to. I think with you mentioned Huma Abedin, who was the who was Secretary Clinton's aide, and she's been kind of in the eye of the storm. And I've written a lot about it. A number of people have written some about it. I think we need to be careful in terms of what's at stake and what's not. Nobody, I think, who's questioning the influence of Ms. Abedin, and particularly the propriety of her getting a security clearance under the circumstances, is claiming that she's the policymaker. Policy in the administration is made by President Clinton and his top cabinet people and his top advisors, and that would be Secretary Clinton. I don't think anyone is saying that Huma Abedin is responsible for a big shift in American policy.
Well, whether it's her or perhaps some other figures that the administration is close with and relies heavily on for input and advice, what in your estimation is okay given some of the family ties that Abedin's brother, I believe, and parents have had in the past, and how much is merely coincidence? How do you figure out what's troubling and what's not?
Well, I think it's all very troubling. I mean, I think the closer that you look at it, what we now believe is that this organization, which is, I think, called the, if I'm remembering it right, it's kind of an alphabet soup of different
right.
organizations he's attached to. But the family has been involved since the late 1970s in something called IMMA, which I think is the Institute for Muslim Minority. I can't remember what the A stands for off the top of my head. But they publish a journal and have for a number of years. That outfit was started, it looks like, with the sponsorship of a guy by the name of Omar Abdullah Nassif, who is connected to Al-Qaeda, who has been connected to financing of Al-Qaeda. He ran not only the Muslim World League, which is kind of the font of Muslim Brotherhood ideology, but also something called the Rabida Trust, which not only is a designated terrorist organization under American law, but it was actually run for a time by one of the guys who's a founder of Al-Qaeda. I go through that history because on the very journal that Ms. Abedin herself was affiliated with as an assistant editor from about 1996 until almost up to the time when she joined the State Department in 2009, this fella, Nassif, for a number of years was on the advisory board of that very publication. So we actually have her working in the same institution at the same place as a known terrorist sponsor. So this isn't just like a casual 6 degrees of separation thing from some obscure Muslim Brotherhood figure.
One of the other things we, of course, learned in the process of this warming up to the Muslim Brotherhood was the testimony of the Director of National Intelligence saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is not a terrorist organization. Has the Muslim Brotherhood successfully convinced much of the Western world that that's the case? Or is there evidence to suggest that they are not the same organization they were a number of decades ago?
No, I think what's really going on is the Muslim Brotherhood hasn't changed a whit. If anything, they're more efficient than they were decades ago, but their goals have never changed. Their ideology has never changed. Let's remember, every time they say that they don't have anything to do with terrorism, remember that Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, is the Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian branch. And also remember that when they see the killing by Muslims of non-Muslims, particularly in places like Israel, which they regard as an interloper and an illegitimate power, et cetera, they don't regard that as terrorism. They call it resistance. So they can be all for bombings in Israel and look you straight in the eye and tell you that they're anti-terrorism and mean it, because in their minds they don't see it as terrorism anyway. So the Brotherhood hasn't changed. What I think has changed is it's obvious that American policy, not just in this administration but going back a number of administrations, has been, in many ways, enabling of the Muslim Brotherhood. I think Obama has really turned up the speed on that. But they're now left with an outcome where the Muslim Brotherhood is actually going to take over the governments of a number of the countries in the region. And I've always thought when they say, the Brotherhood is secular, they're just a political organization, et cetera, when it's clear that the Brotherhood hasn't changed at all, what you have are American leaders who are preparing the political ground for failure. They're going to be stuck with a fait accompli that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to be in charge, and they're therefore in a situation where either people are going to blame them for something very bad that has happened, or they have to try to make people see it a different way. So they've opted for the latter.
Two quick questions for Andy McCarthy before we let him go. Number one, if in fact the Muslim Brotherhood wins the power struggle in Egypt, which is probably a pretty safe bet at this point, do you suspect that their attitude toward Israel will turn on a dime very publicly, or will they kind of do the double approach that you mentioned a while ago while condoning violence towards Israel, but in all the diplomatic statements saying that that they're anti-terrorism?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, first of all, we need to recognize that no matter what happens in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, they may take over soon. It may take a year or two to basically sort of beat the military down. But eventually, I think it's clear which way that's headed. But already, no matter how long that takes to play out, the Sinai has become a border that's a big problem for Israel, and that's a big deal because it hasn't been a problem for 30 years. So I think what will happen is kind of a macro-level strategy of the kind that Hamas has been following for all these years, which is that, there'll be continuing terrorism pressure from the outside, and there'll also be continuing political pressure to basically delegitimize Israel as a Jewish state. One of the reasons I've always been so concerned about all of this democracy rhetoric is not only that I don't think the kind of democracy we're talking about is something that's ever going to be adopted in the Middle East, but also it makes it very hard, ultimately, for Israel to continue to maintain itself as a Jewish state.
And finally, sir, what do you make of the reaction that we saw to these five House Republicans who are clearly uncomfortable with the Muslim Brotherhood and uncomfortable with some of the connections they see potentially influencing the Obama administration? What do you make of the administration's response, as well as the response of several Republicans, including John McCain, who you referenced in your article, which was quite strong?
Well, you know, look, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, Greg, I think this is not just an Obama administration, the regard for the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a bipartisan, really ruling class in Washington perception of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, some of it has to do with preparing the ground for failure. Some of it has to do with the fact that you have a lot of people in the Republican establishment who have married themselves to this idea of democratizing the Middle East. And it's that idea that has brought these organizations, these Islamist organizations, into power in the first place. And they, too, have an interest in how people see that. I see it as a catastrophe. They want to see it as an evolving democratic process, or at least that's how they want people to see it. And I think, you know, what's happening is the five Republican conservative members of the House who've raised these questions are basically holding up the mirror to the disaster that's happening, you know, before our very eyes.
We'll keep watching. I know you will also. Sir, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Take care.
Andy McCarthy, prosecutor of the bombers of the World Trade Center 1993 attack. He is also affiliated with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and he writes frequently for National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.